Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. I couldn't just turn on the cameras, sit in a podcast room by myself, and break down a devastating loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I had to bring on my guy, Vito Cerco, one of the managing editors, an individual that's overseen the entire All Lions website for the last 5 years. I just needed to debrief. Wow, Vito. I'm just curious. You saw it. The Detroit Lions were 30 minutes away, that close to going to Las Vegas to face the Kansas City Chiefs in a rematch of the season opener. Vito, it was crazy. I'll explain it like this. Obviously, as a sports writer, you want to be part of greatness. So as I'm watching, covering the game, getting everything situated, you know, we're doing work, we're talking back and forth, and I did it. At the point at the halftime, when it was, I believe, 27-10, 17-point lead, you start seeing the way in which the Lions played. You saw on our Twitter page, at Detroit Podcast, I was like, I can't believe what my eyes are seeing. The Lions are running for it on third down and 12, and they're able to get first downs. They're dominating the 49ers. And I did it. I went on Delta's website, and I got sticker shock. Vito, let me just tell you this. If the Lions would have advanced, it was going to cost me $2,500 to get there and $2,500 for a week to stay there. I was like, oh, I was trying to think about, I was like, for a second, do I got to cut Vito's salary? Do I got to lay him off for a month? Do I got to lay him off for a month?
I bet you were thinking of that.
Super Bowl? Oh, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
Can't do that to me. Come on. No way. Come on.
I would never do that to Vito. I always tell him in our text, I'm going to cut his pay or fine him, but I've never, ever done Vito that way. It's just funny to say and write, but Vito, it was a tale of two halves. And then the second half started, and the honest response, I was in shock that it turned that fast. And the Lions lost. They lost their chance to get to the big game and play the Chiefs and have all the success and talk of the NFL world. It was shocking. It took me till me talking to you right now to get over it. I thought the news of Ben Johnson kind of helped ease the pain of what everybody went through. What was it like for you? Because you followed this journey with me from the time that you messaged me and said, hey, I want to join your podcast. You've been a supporter of the Lions. You've written about the Lions. You haven't written as much as me, but you've covered the team. You've read as much as anybody out there about the Detroit Lions. Well, how did you experience a situation in which this close to glory, but it collapsed? It was a loss for the ages.
Well, I'm lucky I'm only 30 years old and have witnessed 30 years of basically losing from the Detroit Lions. I mean, think about it. For me, I had never seen a playoff victory. Now, I mean, they had last won a playoff game in what, the 91 season and all that. Last won a division championship 30 years ago when I was born in 93. But still, man, I had never seen anything. No playoff victories. Then they have two consecutive playoff victories. So basically, this still was a dream season. But going into that game, based on how they started, they came out like gangbusters, running all over the Niners, like you said, controlling the line of scrimmage completely in the first and second quarters. They outgamed the 49ers, just thrashed the Niners all over the field, back and forth, Gibbs and Montgomery, you name it. They did it all. And Goff was consistently effective, too, in that first half of play. So it looked like they were going to wipe the floor clean with the Niners at Levi's Stadium against the number one seed San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium of all places, you know, in their own place. I mean, that was incredible, the start of that game. And once again, the Niners are littered with talent on both sides of the ball. Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, defensively Nick Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, and others. Go on and on all day long about the talent that they have on both sides of the ball and the fact that they've been to the conference championship game 3 years in a row for the last five seasons, John, as you know. Then the Lions once again come out, have a great first half. I mean, it went even better than what you could have predicted, right? Even in your wildest dreams, I don't think anybody would have expected the Lions to have a 17-point lead as they did at 24-7 going into halftime, John. But then after half, they come out and they look horrible and played the worst quarter of their whole entire season. It's like their third quarter woes really finally reared their ugly head and got the best of the Lions. The Lions had mistake after mistake. A bunch of unlucky breaks as well, obviously, too, John. And it was just ugly. I mean, the worst quarter I had ever seen this season for sure. But then just with the moment, how big it was on that national stage in that round of the playoffs, a win shy of making the Super Bowl. And then you come out with that kind of performance in the third quarter, John. It was miserable. It was devastating. And what an ugly defeat suffered at the hands of the Niners. And one that this Lions fan base, John, as you know, and even better than me, it won't forget for a very, very long time.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Oh, what do you think led to the collapse? Do you think that, you know, I do agree with those that say it's just a total collapse, offense, defense, special teams. Chase Lucas just unfortunately couldn't get the ball down in that critical punt. It was just bad luck all the way around. Coaching, Dan Campbell, maybe his decisions on fourth down. You recognize, too, the third quarter collapse that has haunted the Lions. Going away from the run, only 8 rushes in the second half, I thought was also a challenge too, but you have to give credit to the 49ers. They started to stuff the box and were able to get into the backfield a little bit more, started to pressure Jared Goff. And I just thought that obviously, okay, that first scoring drive the 49ers had coming out of halftime, you say, okay, now the Lions get the football. And they make a critical error, the drop by Josh Reynolds is very key. And it just, once the Lions lost momentum, they never got it back. And it was so tough when you recognize how things went down in the loss. It was such a struggle. It was such a really a tough situation when you look at it, a loss that is going to sting for a long time. But what do you think, contributed most to the loss?
Oh my gosh, a myriad of issues, right? It wasn't just Dan Campbell's play calling the fourth quarter, going for it, being over aggressive, as you can argue maybe he was. I think not on the first, that fourth down call that he made in the third quarter, I don't think it was really that like outlandish or egregious. I don't think it was even close to an egregious mistake. Basically, Goff threw a nice enough pass to Josh Reynolds right in his hands, and Reynolds dropped it. And Reynolds didn't have a good game, right? He caught one ball on 4 targets. Had a miserable performance. Was the lowest graded offensive player for the Lions by Pro Football Focus in that game, too, on Sunday. So Reynolds didn't come to perform. He had a horrible game. He really did after really a great campaign that he had, establishing a terrific rapport. He had that when Goff and him played with the Rams there from 2017 through 2020. Then Reynolds comes over to the Lions and really became, especially this season, John, as you know, an extremely reliable target for Goff in that Lions passing game. And then Reynolds has his worst game of all season in this NFC Championship contest, John. And really everybody did. Gibbs fumble. We hadn't seen that all year long, right? You know, just a combination of issues, a missed tackling, 16 missed tackles. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, better known now as C.D. Deuce, he didn't come to play. He had a bunch of missed tackles, had 3 missed tackles, had the lowest grade given out by Pro Football Focus for a Lions defender in that contest, too. Him and Cam Sutton were horrible. Kendall Vildor in coverage, right? Had the pass off his helmet, deflected, went into the hands of Brandon Ayuk. I mean, what could you do? Just some bad luck. Lions couldn't catch a break. And the Niners completely outperformed the Lions in the third quarter. Really turned it on. Obviously dominated the second half after the Lions dominated the first half. So once again, as you already established, John, about this game, it definitely, definitely was a tale of two halves for the Lions. And guess what? Once again, there wasn't one single issue to pinpoint to say why the Lions lost. It wasn't that. It was a myriad of issues. And the Lions just straight up collapsing in the second half.
Yeah. What was your reaction? Like, how are you experiencing it? Did you go, whoa, this is bad, once that fourth and two drop happened, or that key drop by Josh Reynolds? Because once the momentum, once the announcer said, this lead has evaporated just that fast in 8 minutes, 17-point lead, I believe it was, at halftime, it was 24-7. And you recognize, oh boy, 17-point lead, and the San Francisco 49ers, which everybody knew, I don't think you were going to hope maybe that the Lions could continue that momentum in the second half, but you recognize the 49ers were going to make a run. But typically the Lions have answered. They would have played a little bit better in the fourth quarter, but it was just a grind. And you recognize so many unanswered points left everybody scratching their head. It felt like a tidal wave. It literally felt like football momentum that the Lions just were not going to get back. And it was befuddling, head scratching, and really kind of in totality felt like a missed opportunity. But how did you take it in? I know you watched maybe with family or as you were taking all the experience in, reading my texts and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What was the vibe like? Because for me, I tend to watch alone and be able to process and type and do all the stuff I got to do. What was it like for you? Because you watched it with the community, I believe.
I did. My dad, my brother, my dad was going crazy. Oh. He went on the screen. He was pissed out of his mind. He couldn't believe what was happening.
I didn't think about dad. So close.
Poor dad. He was born at 57. The last year the Lions won a championship. And by the way, it was an NFL championship. It wasn't even a Super Bowl. Right. It was a Super Bowl era at that point. That's the last time really he had seen. Well, he wasn't born then. So he didn't see it. He didn't witness it. So for him to see how crazy befuddling, such an epic collapse of the Lions experience there in the second half there on Sunday. My gosh, it was painful for him to watch. Painful for me to watch him witness all that. I mean, once again, he was yelling at the screen. He couldn't believe what was happening. He compared it to the Pistons when Larry Bird, remember Larry Bird, right? He caught that interception by Dan Thomas, I think, right? Pistons Celtics there back in the Eastern Conference playoffs way back in the 80s. He said it was very comparable to that experience from as a Pistons fan back then, John, witnessing that and how miserable of a postseason loss that was for the Pistons at the time. And remember, people were questioning the Pistons. Could they get over the hump against the Celtics? Then they finally did. Could they get over the hump against the Lakers? And they finally did, right? Some hard-fought losses there for the Pistons back in the day. I know, before I was even born, they had to go through first to get to the promised land to reach the pinnacle of success. Lions now have gone through that kind of loss here. You know, a 17-point collapse. And what, only one other team had done this in 2012? Right, the Falcons blew a 17-point lead, too, to the Niners once again. So the Niners on the favorable side of both of these 17-point collapses. But maybe, once again, in trying to spin this positively, John, maybe this is something the Lions can work off of, right? They've suffered their now most devastating defeat, basically. So they can bounce back, right, from this and then get to the promised land next season or two seasons from now. But still, truly, at the end of the day, as Dan Campbell said in his post-game presser, John, there's no guarantee he gets this team back to the NFC Championship game a season from now. Despite all the talent they have on both sides of the ball, and let's say Brad Holmes goes out and nails another draft, it's four straight, okay, and upgrades the defense as he should. Even if he does all that, you look at the NFC North Division and the Packers of Jordan Love. They were a play or two away from beating the Niners around before, right? So the Packers are going to be more of a formidable opponent. The Bears could make some upgrades, right? Have a nice draft pick. The Vikings, if they get Kirk Cousins or a respectable QB under center, can be a much more competitive squad, too. So you look at the NFC North, there's no guarantee, in my opinion, John, not to hurt any Lions fans' feelings out there, but there's no guarantee the Lions even repeat as NFC North division champs going into next season, let alone make it a Super Bowl run. So once again, it was tough to see my dad. And I know it was tough for a bunch of Lions fans, older guys, Benjamin Kapp. How about that, man? A 66-year season ticket holder for the Lions. Oh. Can only imagine what he thought experiencing that as well.
Yeah. Is your dad like a, what are you doing kind of guy? What are you doing?
My gosh.
Take the points.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. With Campbell, those calls, man. The drop by Reynolds, the fumble by Gibbs, that deflection off of Vildor's helmet. And how it goes in the hands of a 49ers.
J-Mo, catch the ball.
It was crazy. Oh, my gosh. It was so crazy. What a devastating defeat.
All right.
I mean, I think some people would have said they would have rather had the Lions get blown out. And my dad even would admit that now.
Yeah.
John, that's a
heartbreak.
Another topic, now, right? Right there.
Yeah, for the next couple minutes, Vito, you're going to have to be somebody that's a listening ear. Because I'm older than you, so I remember the Pistons. Not the Isaiah Thomas, but the phantom call on Bill Laimbeer. That's when I would stay up late. That's my parents and I had a great relationship. I was never in trouble. The only time they would get concerned was I would stay up late and try to sneak watching the Pistons on the West Coast. So it would be 10 o'clock at night and I'd be up and they'd be like, wait a minute. They can see the lights on and I'm going, the phantom, when the Pistons tried, when they lost to the Lakers, I was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
It was so tough because you felt like they were one of the best teams on the rise, but then they eventually won, so that made up for it. But then after winning, you had the Robert Horry play where you could have been back there again, and you're like, what are you doing, Cover?
Yeah, I was allowed to watch that one, unfortunately.
On the Red Wing side, The rise of the Red Wings was such a grind. The losses to San Jose, Toronto, then getting to the Stanley Cup final only to get swept by New Jersey, the heartache. Finally, you get the opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, but then you lose a heartbreaking game seven at Joe Louis Arena. There's so much heartbreak that has been felt. And then now, Vito, you can relate to this one. Two World Series appearances.
Oh, please, don't remind me.
Heartbreaker. I remember sitting there going, oh, my God, the Tigers are better than the Giants. That darn week off. Those darn schedule makers. How could you do that to us? We had the momentum. The bats were hot. That week off killed that Tiger team. They would have swept the Giants. And they just didn't look like the same team. The heartache of the Tigers. And now this one though, Vito, in all honesty, it ranks up there. It's to be that close. And I know a lot of people are hopeful. The Ben Johnson news, which we'll talk about, gave everybody a spark of life. And look, I'll be honest. I'm not the kind of person that just sits there and goes, I think it's just easy to say, well, we'll be back next year. We'll be back. I mean, you know how hard it was for the Lions to get one playoff win?
Yeah,
I think they're going to be they'll be in the playoffs a lot of years with this regime. But the realistic opportunities that you have don't come that often in regards to getting to a game of that magnitude and maybe winning it. When you recognize you could have played a Chiefs team that still has a good defense, but that you know already, and you potentially could have a lot of confidence against, and it's going to be a different team. And here's the thing that people, I don't know if they want to just choose to neglect, but if Jared Goff makes $50 million a year, there's only so much money to go around. You might have to lose a Jonah Jackson or a piece here or there that could change up the flow. You never know year to year what's going to happen. And there's no guarantee that the trajectory of a football team is just perfectly, oh, they're going to lose this. And Vito, I said this the other day. All right. You now felt it. Your dad felt it. And you saw it live, a loss in the NFC Championship. You know what's next, right? And you know what's next.
It's coming.
You're going there. It's coming.
You're going there. I know what you're going to do here.
The history of the Lions would dictate they get there and then lose.
Ugh, please don't do it. Not in this Lions fan base. Oh, my God. How painful would that be? Well, I don't know. Once again, the topic, if they get blown out, what's worse? Getting blown out or a close game where they lose in the final?
No, getting blown out. This was worse. Having a lead and collapsing? Worst thing ever, because you were there. You had the taste. Literally, I think half of Detroit was thinking about booking their travel. You could sense it. Like, I was picturing Dan Campbell. You start to picture the ultimate prize, celebrating, like, partying in Vegas with the fans of Detroit for a week. And you just pictured the reality. The hope started to enter your mind that this Lions team could win it all, could have a Lombardi trophy hoisted up by ownership to have it go away. Oh, Vito, I'm putting it out there because it's written in stone. Heartache and dealing with football heartache is what this fan base knows. So it's coming. Here's the storybook. If I'm accurate, next year's game is at SoFi. Who used to play at SoFi? Jared Goff. Dream homecoming. Dream scenario. Lions badass team. I think they're going to take a little step back in the win total. I think, when you look at it, probably 11 wins. But, it's going to be tough. That schedule is brutal. That schedule is not easy. Dallas, Houston, 49ers, Packers twice.
Yeah.
Look at that. Dallas, Houston, 49ers, and the Packers twice. That's five games right there. Now you have those fluke losses. So I don't think a 12-5 season is in the cards. I could be wrong, but I could see a 10 or 11 win situation and a little bit of a slow start maybe even next year. But I look at it like the Detroit Lions are a football team that have all the makings of a team that could be sustained. This is right. The run's not over, right? They're going to run it back. And what gives you hope that the Lions can still compete and get back to at least maybe another run to the NFC?
Well, two things. The biggest thing that came to light on Tuesday this week is the fact that, well, Ben Johnson, right? Ben Johnson coming back to be the Lions OC, calling plays, This guy was dynamite calling plays all season long. Now for what, 2 seasons as Lions offensive coordinator officially. He's been tremendous and up for head coaching vacancy after vacancy because he's been so top-notch at play calling. Outside of some third quarter woes, maybe a little bit in the NFC title game too, and at times throughout the regular season, obviously, John, but he was muy perfecto, I would like to say. All season long, basically calling plays for the Lions offensively. So love getting that guy back, and it makes me think Lions have a really good shot at sustained success. But, once again, you brought it up yourself. I mean, they got like a gauntlet of a schedule. A first-place team schedule now going into the 2024 campaign, man, and that's going to be really rough for this Lions team. Even though they're loaded with offensive talent, have Aiden Hutch to return, and obviously decent defensive pieces, and they're going to draft some defensive help, you would imagine, and get some secondary help because they really need to upgrade the cornerback spot. We all know that much, okay? Whether they do it in free agency, via trade, via the draft, whatever it may be, Brad Holmes and company in that Lions front office has to go out and get secondary help this offseason. And I think he will. I think that's a guarantee. So, meaning you would think the Lions are even better next season. But you already said it yourself, and the win-loss column to repeat as a 12-win team. And then, remember, 14 wins total, counting the postseason. I mean, the Lions don't do that. They don't got the franchise track record, the franchise history for repeating that kind of success, right? And I think this is the brand new Lions. This is a different kind of Lions team built for success and over the long term. But once again, to say they're going to win 12 games right now, I'm not willing to do that, John.
Yeah, it's tough. But I look at a lot of factors that I think gives a lot of people reason for hope. One, Vito, is Jared Goff playing at a high level, a command of this offense with Ben Johnson coming back, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and J-Mo all going to improve. They have to. And you recognize Gibbs is going to be hungry, obviously, to avenge his mistake. Laporta will be healthy after hyperextending his knee and grinding it out in the postseason. You realize the weapons that Jared Goff has. If Jameson Williams takes that next step and becomes a weapon where you can use get him 6 targets and 6 receptions more consistently towards 100 yards and a touchdown more consistently, look out. How beautiful was it to open the game with that run? Everyone was screaming, wow, this is great. They used him like Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
What a great play call. It's just, you would presume they're going to figure out the third quarter. I mean,
gotta do it.
How does the football team stink in a quarter? And
the third quarter, right? And then it become known as the third quarter? The third
quarter. We have a name now, right? For the quarter. They got to fix that. The third quarter. So I think they'll fix that. And what gives me hope is I think clearly they're going to upgrade at cornerback and at kicker. They're going to find a kicker or actually say, oh, wait a minute. We can actually send the kicker out there to kick 48 yarders. I think the people that are like, well, why would Dan send out a kicker for a 48 yarder? He could miss. Well, what kind of attitude is that? Why would you have a kicker on your roster that you don't trust to make them? The Lions devalued the kicker position all year in a weird kind of determination. So I do believe in the fact that they'll figure that out. And look, listen, we're not here to pile on Cam Sutton and Vildor, but in the end, Cam Sutton weathered through some injuries and he's playing out of position. He's not a number one. And that's not a knock on him. Nobody really, it's tough to find a number one. Yeah. But if he gets help, whether it be if they bring back Mosley, if he's healthy, or they find a young, hungry defensive back that's got that swagger, maybe even the Sauce Gardner of the draft, if there's one out there, if you can find someone out there that's going to come in, and as a rookie, it's tough, but you'd hope that their development would be, you know, really with Aaron Glenn as their coordinator, hopefully the player would be able to come in and help out. And you realize too, one more edge rusher to help Aiden Hutchinson, I think, oh my goodness, with a healthy James Houston, hopefully, and Aiden Hutchinson being hungry as well. I thought, for me, Vito, the sight of seeing Aiden and, literally, to add to the heartbreak, Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson walk off the field to Journey. I mean, how much of heartbreak is that to have that? And then Dan Campbell just seems so defeated and struggling to put the words out there just to, you kind of knew that how badly he wanted. And then the photo with, you don't typically see him leaving the stadium with a player hugging Teddy Bridgewater and kind of just sensing that you've sensed that maybe even Teddy was kind of trying to crack jokes a little bit to make Dan feel better. because of how tough that loss really was. But I think that, you know, this football team, first and foremost, yes, the loss stings. And that's how you feel currently, because you feel like you blew a chance for a ring. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it feels. But I truly believe in a couple weeks, when the calendar hits mid-February and March, and we start naturally looking to the draft, the appreciation, we have to appreciate what this Lions football team did. Two thrilling playoff wins, 30 minutes of unreal championship caliber play against the number one seed in the NFC. Nobody, I don't do the whole nobody expected thing, but I'll say this. The season this year undoubtedly was a success. Now this is a real football team that people like me, you, if we're blessed again to keep doing this, we can say this team has expectations like the Cowboys, like the Niners, like the Steelers. We're not just talking about, hey, have a season and get to the draft. We're talking, hey, how does this Lions team in 24 get the number one seed? How does this team look in comparison to the Eagles and the Niners and the Chiefs? And not how do they look compared to the Commanders and the Rams and the bottom dwellers? You look at this football team and they've arrived. They're a real team that you can break down X's and O's, salary cap moves, roster decisions that are made, and you're not looking at, hey, can you just stop with the penalties? Can you figure out a way to line up properly and get 11 guys out there consistently? Those days are gone. We can actually break down high level stuff in regards to third down decisions, fourth down decisions, who gets the football when, real topics that we can fire up the microphones and talk about. And first and foremost, kudos to you for keeping the site alive and keeping it so that all the millions that follow us enjoy it and make sure that we can put our sentences together. Man, Vito, it was a fun ride, but it really came to an end a little bit too soon.
Yeah, it came to, you know what, after that first half once again on Sunday, it came to really a surprising halt with how that game ended, right? Really, really different than Lions. But guess what? You mentioned this too. Two things real quick. Trajectory, right? The big word being trajectory. And what trajectory are the Lions on right now? Well, you know, really, you think about it, even though they went 9-8 last year and finished with that win against the Packers at Lambeau Field in, what, week 18, you know, just because they did that, there was no guarantee the Lions were going to have this kind of success in 2023. So remember, they did that too, kind of proving some doubters wrong. Despite, once again, they had some expectations. They did. They were going to be competitive. Everybody knew that. People were predicting them to win the division to a large, large degree too. But to go this far, they weren't predicted to be the second best team in the NFC by season's end, as they finished as a runner-up to the San Francisco 49ers. People really weren't picking the Lions to go that far in 2023, remember, too. So that right there spells out, I think, enough of why the Lions did have a terrific season. Truly still a dream campaign. And you also said this, too, and just to quickly piggyback off of it, the NFL draft, that used to be the Lions Super Bowl. It used to be the Lions Super Bowl. That is no longer. The Lions have slayed the same old Lion, you know, mantra. The SOL is dead, completely dead. And now the Lions actually can be considered among the NFL's upper echelon teams and be a team that in Vegas has one of the best odds to win the Super Bowl in 2024. So clearly, this team is headed in the right direction. And the next step now, it has become, John, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy at season's end.
Yeah, Vito. Good stuff, man. Make sure you follow Vito on Twitter at Vito Jerome. Follow Detroit Sports Podcast at Detroit Podcast. Make sure to check in with All Lions for all your off-season needs. Visit si.com/NFL/Lions. We'll keep doing these video podcasts. I'm trying to be more consistent now with these video podcasts once a week. I know what's probably going to happen. If the good Lord blesses us to keep doing this, we'll do one with me and one with Vito. And I think Vito's got to give us more time. He's very talented. You naturally can see he's in the know about the Lions. And like I said, he keeps the All Lions site in check so that I can be me and wild all over the place. And he can keep the journalistic credibility of All Lions as high as it is, baby. And that's the guy. That's the reason we've had the success. I've had the ideas. He keeps us in line. So it's a beautiful balance. And I did a podcast with Vito and he's like, I'm sick of that guy. I can't do anymore. I can't work with him, text with him and do podcasts. Not going to happen, but I got to force him. If we go on, Vito, half an hour to an hour dedicated talking to me.
I can do what I can. I'll swing it for you. Okay.
I can't give you any more money. It'll be for free, but it's just to debrief and to help me kill a half hour talking on the podcast. Deal?
Nothing wrong with that. I love talking Lions too. So I'll consider the offer. How about that? I'll get back to you on it, but it sounds intriguing too.
Well, internet world, if you need someone to work for free, Vito's your guy.
The best guy for it. Okay. The top candidate for it. Trust me.
All right, everyone. This brings the latest Bang the Table All Lions podcast to a close. And of course, the caveat is I pay Vito. He's not working for free. He's well below market value. That's why he's been sticking around. But for sure, he gets paid for the time he spends with All Lions.
Couple dollars an hour, right? Fair compensation from John, obviously, all the time. But no, great, great stuff. And thanks for all your support, too, throughout the years here at SIO Lions. I enjoy it thoroughly, as you know, too.
As long as All Lions goes, Vito will be around. That's a guarantee. Thanks, everyone. Let's hope to fire it up again next week.
I love it. Thank you.